Hi, everybody. There's a lot of news on this day. Program note, we now post this show every single day because there is a lot of news, not weekly, but daily. And much of the reason that so many people are now watching this is because we hold no punches. So look for it daily. Truth bomb number one. Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company, is being linked to terrorist attacks against Russia. Truth bomb number two. Burisma's involvement appears to have been funded by Western, possibly U.S. sources. Truth bomb number three. Will this investigation lead to the Biden-Burisma connection somehow? We're asking. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. Okay, let me take you through this because this thing seems to be building, right? Ever since the terrorist attack in Moscow at the Krokus City Music Hall, there have been leads and revelations as to who was responsible and, you know, what the hell happened, right? Right from the beginning, it seemed obvious this was not a usual terrorist attack. It was obvious to most people, anyway. First of all, the attackers didn't act like terrorists. They weren't there to sacrifice themselves for a cause. They were there to kill and then try and get away. That is not usual in these cases. Then they admitted to being recruited and paid. That is not usual in these cases. Most of us in this business have covered a lot of these terrorist attacks. I know I have. I haven't seen anything like this. Then we learned that they were headed toward Ukraine while authorities followed and monitored their cell phone calls, which were being made into Ukraine. That is not usual. While few of any of my colleagues here in the United States and other Western media or even U.S. government agencies have reported on any of that or even found any of what I just said curious, authorities in Moscow investigating the attack did put out this official statement when we reported this. I think most people did. Quote, it says, as a result of the work with the detained terrorists, examination of the technical devices seized from them, and analysis of information on financial transactions, evidence of their links with Ukrainian nationalists has been obtained. That was important when they said that, right? It was kind of a breakthrough in the case. That was as far, though, as Russian investigators would go at the time. They didn't add anything else. Now, they are coming out with new information, where they seem to suggest that they're working on a link between the attackers and a specific, very specific, Ukrainian company, Burisma. Founded in 2002, Burisma Holdings is an oil and natural gas company originally owned by Ukrainian businessperson. Mykola Slokevsky is his name. Interestingly enough, he was also a Ukrainian government official at the time, who based Burisma in Kiev but registered in Cyprus. Burisma has been steeped in corruption, steeped, lousy with corruption, as we would say here in the States. And it was about that time, right after the U.S. government-inspired coup removed Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych, when Vice President Joe Biden stepped into the picture. So this is when Joe Biden steps into the picture there, after the situation where the president was removed. It was essentially a U.S.-led coup. He was made, Biden was, the point man on Ukraine for the United States. Now, at the time, Mr. Biden made frequent visits to Ukraine. By his own count, he went there at least a dozen times from 2014 through early 2016. And that, you should know, not so coincidentally, is about the same time that his son Hunter got what appeared to be a token job working for Burisma. Burisma is a company that has produced as much as 1.3 billion cubic meters of natural gas, generates revenues as high as $500 million. Now, it is also being accused of producing something else. And that's why we're bringing you this story today. Not just natural gas, but also terrorism. This link was disclosed publicly for the very first time by the Moscow Investigative Committee spokesperson. Here she is.
Итогом проверки, организованной в связи с обращением группы депутатов Госдумы и иных лиц, Следственным комитетом России возбуждено уголовное дело о финансировании терроризма. Установлено, что денежные средства, поступавшие через коммерческие организации, в частности, нефтегазовую компанию «Бурисма Холдингс», действующую на территории Украины, на протяжении последних лет использовались для осуществления террористических актов в Российской Федерации, а также за ее пределами.
So there you go. Authorities there are linking Burisma with terrorist attacks. Now, while Moscow authorities do not, and this is important, they do not at this point directly tie Burisma to the Crocus Music Hall attack, to be fair, they do seem to suggest a pattern of associations between terrorist attacks and Burisma. The report also suggests that Burisma was not an independent actor, that in fact may have been funneled millions and millions of U.S. dollars through the, quote, involvement of specific individuals from among government officials and public and commercial organizations in Western countries.
Следствием во взаимодействии с иными спецслужбами и финансовой разведкой проверяются источники поступления и дальнейшее движение денежных средств в размере нескольких миллионов долларов США, причастность конкретных лиц из числа сотрудников органов власти, общественных коммерческих организаций стран Запада.
So why is this really important? And this is why we want to bring you this. First of all, look, let's just be straight. While the involvement of any company, no less a Ukrainian company, with ties to the United States should spark global concerns when linked to terrorism, period, the fact that it's Burisma, the fact that this is Burisma seems to make this story obviously more newsworthy and noteworthy, right? Why? Well, because there is a direct link between the President of the United States, his son, and Burisma. Now, to be clear, and again, to be fair, while that link exists at the present time, there is nothing that connects the Bidens to Burisma's alleged association with terrorism. In other words, there's two stories here, the Biden connection and then the fact that Burisma's being tied to terrorists. We cannot put those together, and it would not be responsible to do so, journalistically speaking. However, and as I mentioned earlier, there are plenty of links to the Bidens and Burisma, and they are important. And let me take you through them. In 2014, Hunter Biden's life appeared to be an absolute mess. It was. Drugs, alcohol, prostitution were all front and center in the younger Biden's wayward existence. That's when he was discharged from the Navy after being caught doing cocaine. And that's when he went to work for Burisma. Now, just that story in and of itself makes no sense, right? It still doesn't make any sense to me, or I think to anybody else. How could a person with that type of horrible record and reputation end up working and even sit on the board of a huge energy company? The answer, his father was the Vice President of the United States. And as aforementioned, had direct dealings with both the company and Ukrainian officials. Since becoming president, the Hunter issue has become embarrassingly front and center for the Biden administration. And although direct illegalities have not been proven, there remain open questions as to just how closely Hunter, or for that matter, President Biden, were tied to Burisma and its actions, which is why this new question of potential links to terrorism becomes so important. And that's why we're reporting on this at this time. Joining us now to break this down, I'm joined by a friend of the show, somebody who tries to clear up the gaps, and there are plenty of them, I think, in this story, international relations and security analyst Mark Sloboda. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Rick, thanks for having me. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be on Direct Impact.
I think it's really important for us to go through the things that have not been proven at this point. And I think the two things that I pointed out is I don't think anybody at this point can say that there's a tie between the terrorism and the Bidens. There is a tie between the Bidens and Burisma, though. And that's what makes this story so important. But, Mark, and I think you'll agree with me on this, the fact that Burisma or any company, no less a Ukrainian company, may have ties to terrorism is important enough for all the world to be paying attention to it, right?
Sure. And I think you're right to point out that there are no direct connections identified yet. But there are plenty of indirect connections. Mm-hmm. The Burisma Holdings has, for its existence, been pretty much a black box slush fund for corruption and money laundering and making off-the-book payments to political figures inside and outside Ukraine. Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's business partner, Devin Archer, being one of them, two of them. Both were paid $1 million a year for no-show jobs on the board of directors to which they had no expertise whatsoever. Yeah. It was a blatant influence peddling operation.
Unless perhaps being an alcoholic and a drug addict makes you expert on energy matters. And of course, I say that with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe some of his drug-fueled prostitution episodes impressed some people. Yeah, I don't know. But Joe Biden at the time was the vice president of the United States. And more than that, mm-hmm. he was essentially acting as Obama's viceroy over Ukraine after the U.S.-backed overthrow of the government there in 2014. In fact, yeah. Joe Biden bragged about getting the prosecutor general of Ukraine removed on his order, on his threats, a prosecutor general who had opened a corruption investigation into, you guessed it, Burisma Holding.
Yeah.
Can't have anyone taking a look at your sons and business partners, source of extracurricular income.
But Mark, I'm going to stop you for a minute. We get all that. I don't think you'd have to be an absolute moron or an idiot or just not paying attention to not see that there's some really questionable stuff that took place between the vice president, his son, and Burisma. But it's a giant leap to go from that to Burisma is involved in terrorist attacks, may have been involved in the Crocus attack, and perhaps the president of the United States today may have some connection to that. That, my friend, is a hell of a revelation and one that would send shockwaves around the planet, I think.
Yeah, it's actually not so surprising that Burisma is involved in this. The Kiev regime in Ukraine for the last decade has repeatedly used businesses, right, who have paid them basically political money to avoid some type of persecution by the regime. Hmm. And that has been used as off-the-books funds for a lot of black book activity. The dissident former Ukrainian MP, their member of Congress, Andrei Derkach, has specified how Burisma in particular was used as such a vehicle to fund terrorist activities in Russia. And what he's talking about there, and what the investigative committee, they haven't specifically yet identified the Crocus City Hall attacks, mm-hmm. although the context in which they announce it means they're definitely looking in that direction.
Yes.
But it's not reported widely in the Western mainstream media, but there have been dozens of terrorist attacks in Russia over the last couple of years. It's in the former East Ukraine over the last decade, targeting public figures, political figures, activists, journalists, anyone who is in opposition, one form or another, you know, freedom of speech and all, against the regime in Kiev. The car bombing of Daria Dugina, the Russian philosopher and journalist, a friend of mine, by the way, that is probably one of the activities from the description. The terrorist bombing of the cafe targeting the former East Ukrainian war blogger Vladan Tatarsky is another such example. The descriptions that the investigative committee gave of the type of terrorist activities very specifically point to events like this. And like I said, there have been dozens of such incidents. We've got testimony from a former Ukrainian MP, a dissident, and now, you know, the evidence, the financial links of the investigation. And when you have a company like Burisma intimately connected with the Kyiv regime's government and intelligence services, and you have the U.S. funding the entirety of the Kyiv regime's economy, government salaries and business, I would venture to say that the connections, while, you know, have plausible degrees or degrees of separation, there is links, if not direct links.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I want to take a break. I want to come back and explore this a little bit more, but I think you've made it a little more clear to us now that there has been already an existing association between Burisma and some maladies, some very questionable actions, including, in fact, terrorism. So that's where we're going to start the conversation, hopefully, when we come back with Mark. You're watching Direct Impact. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we're going to stay with this as we try and break it down for you. We'll be right back.
Вас. Ну, давай попробуем хотя бы кружок.
FPV-революция, она началась уже непосредственно в ходе СВО. То есть мужики в гаражах начали из запчастей, покупаемых на Алиэкспрессе, собирать там сотнями эти одноразовые камикадзе.
Мы не отправляем ни одного аппарата на фронт, не проведя тесты, не подняв его в воздух.
С опытом, когда уже по 1000 идет дронов, уже по слухам начинаешь понимать неисправность большинства.
Получая от нас такую посылку, бойцы на передовой, в принципе, уже могут просто достать аппарат, достать к нему аккумуляторную батарею. Ну и все, собственно говоря, боец его включает и полетел.
Хороший рабочий дрон. Сейчас самое нужное на фронте, потому что это уже новая война, совсем другая. Будущее за ними.
Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'm joined by analyst Mark Sloboda, talking about what is a very important story that could send, I said this before and I mean it, global shockwaves. The fact that Burisma, a company out of Ukraine, is tied to terrorism in Russia, has been in the past, and now could possibly be investigated as well for the Moscow terrorist attack. Yes, the same Burisma that is also tied to the president of the United States and his son. When you put that all together, it looks nefarious. But I think, Mark, that we need to be real careful here. Look, let me just state this very clearly. The fact that any rich guy or powerful guy in the world would get a cushy job for his idiot son is not news. And I think that in and of itself is like where too often the media runs with this story. I think it's more important that he got his idiot son a job working for a company which has nefarious overtones and has done some really horrible things, is extremely corrupt, and now we're talking about that company having something to do with terrorism. See, as a journalist, as I look at this story, I'm thinking, okay, now you got me. Now you got me. Because before then, I think it was just political hackery. Am I wrong?
I think that there's a little bit more than that, I would say, simply okay. because of Joe Biden's intimate connection with the overthrow of the Ukrainian government that immediately preceded that. That to me makes it elevates it above a typical political scandal in the United States.
That's fair.
So there's a foreign policy aspect of it there for me.
I'm just thinking that what you and I are talking about now, though, is something which could have the kind of repercussions that takes it out of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, which, by the way, half the world could give a you-know-what about, right?
Yes.
This that you and I are talking about now is not about, you know, the Democrats and Biden and the Republicans and Trump and all that other jazz that some people get very jazzed up about, which I try to stay away from on this show. This is serious. This is the kind of stuff yes. that could start World War III, my friend.
It is, absolutely, especially when you consider that some of the terrorist attacks in Russia, like the unwilling suicide bombing of the Crimean Bridge, that has been admitted to by yeah. the U.S.-backed regime in Kyiv are major international events.
Well, that's and again, I'm glad we're having this conversation. We keep hearing the horrible things that our government is doing in our name in places like Gaza, in places like Ukraine, in Russia, as a matter of fact, with some of the bombings that we now see there across the border. If this is somehow proven or investigated further, this even takes that to a whole new realm, which is why I think we can't spend enough time talking about it and hopefully putting it to bed. Hopefully it didn't happen. But if it did, what kind of repercussions you see coming out of this as a security analyst?
Yeah, I think there's so many repercussions from so many things going on with Russia and the United States and NATO on the precipice of direct hot war. This is almost a footnote, to be perfectly honest.
Wow.
It certainly adds to the tensions. But when NATO country leaders are openly talking about sending troops into the combat, the terrorist bombings at this point just become an icing on the cake.
But I'm going to disagree with you. And here's why I'm going to disagree with you. Because countries can always say, well, that's military matters. That's official government work. We're sending troops. We're doing that. And that all seems like it's regular newspeak. But if there's one thing that this government, the government of the United States, I'm probably a block from the White House where I'm standing right now, has always said is terrorism is a different deal. Terrorism is the spur of society. It's the ones that we're going after. It's the biggest problem we have on this planet right now. If there is proof that the United States of America, this government, is somehow tied to terrorism per se and a terrorist act, that's different. That I do believe, Mark, I disagree that this becomes a much bigger deal than just sending troops or not sending troops to some country we shouldn't be even involved in.
See, Rick, I got to see that most of the rest of the world looks at the U.S. and sees the biggest state sponsor of terror for decades in the world. From the U.S. support of the jihadis, the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, to the support of head-chopping suicide bombers in Syria, to the support of al-Qaeda affiliates to overthrow the government in Libya, the support of the Kosovo Liberation Army, which they had previously themselves identified as terrorists until they became geopolitically useful proxies in Serbia. The list goes on and on.
Well,
I'm afraid the American people's government is a lot more intimately connected with terrorism around the world than the Western mainstream media usually wants to acknowledge.
Exactly. And let me put a punctuation on that. I want to show you something. It would seem to me the possibility that the government of the United States could be tied to a company now being linked to terrorism is as important as it gets. Yet here in America, I doubt that anyone knows anything about that, Mark. And why? Because it's going to be buried or misreported by media types who tend to get their marching orders from the same people who may be responsible for the ties to Burisma. So what do Americans know about? You know what they know about? They know about an eclipse yesterday. That's what they know about. Why? Because that's what the U.S. media really got excited about yesterday. By the way, I'm not saying it wasn't cool to report on the eclipse. It was a cool story. But to see how far members of the media went to cover this thing while generally ignoring other important stories, like the one Mark and I are having a semi-argument about right now, that seems silly. To me, anyway. Look at this. This is CNN's anchor team yesterday. Look at this, Mark. They're covering the stories in costumes, dressed as the sun or something. They did so in costume to show how the moon covered the sun. Really, they couldn't get two tennis balls to do that? Why not use two tennis balls, in fact? Call me old-fashioned, but this looks stupid and not credible. Then there's this guy. Here's a weather guy yesterday crying on the air. Listen to this.
Pete Sack,
oh, my gosh, we're almost
in
there. We're almost there. There it is. It's totality. This is just amazing. I can't believe I'm able to bring this to you. I'm taking my glasses off for a moment because you can actually look up and see. We're seeing kind of a diamond effect, but we can see the halo.
Really? You're crying over an eclipse? You want to cry about something? I could show you some Palestinian babies in positions and in conditions that you would really want to cry about. I could show you some of the situations going on around the world right now, including the one Mark and I are talking about right now. Maybe that's what we should be crying about. I don't get it, Mark, but you're right. And I think you made your strongest point when you said to me, the media doesn't care about these things, doesn't know about these things, and unfortunately too few people in America do. I'll give you the last word.
Rick, yeah, the clips you just showed me, you know, that's actually nothing new. It's as old as history, this type of distraction and sleight of hand. The Romans called it bread and circus.
They sure did, Mark. Mark Sloboda, one of the best guests we get on this show, and we often have great conversations. I'm so glad we do. It's so transparent. Thank you, my friend. Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission here. Simple, really. We try and de-silo the world. We've got to stop living in these little boxes. We should be able to talk about everything, because truths don't live in boxes. I'm Rick Sanchez. It's what we try to do here on Direct Impact.